tips for how to take better photos, getting started. Hi, and a very warm welcome to episode 176 of the Photography Explained podcast, no less. I'm your host, Rick, and in each episode, I will try to explain one photographic thing to you in plain English in less than 27 minutes-ish without the irrelevant details. I'm a professionally qualified photographer based in England with a lifetime of photographic experience, which I share with you in my podcast. Here is the answery bit. Before you take a photo, be clear about what you are taking a photo of. Make sure that the camera settings are correct technically and that they are right for the subject. Think about what you're doing and make sure that you're in the best position for the photo that you are taking. Raise your camera to the eye, look carefully at what you can see in the viewfinder and take one photo. One photo, that's the point here. Next, stop and review what you've captured. Look at the photo critically and ask yourself these questions. Do you like the photo? Is the composition pleasing? Is the photo technically correct? Can you take a better photo than this one? Can you be bothered to spend ages editing the photo? Well, can you be bothered? It's a great question. What do you like about the photo? And finally, why would anyone other than you be remotely interested in this photo? Yes, these are the questions you need to ask yourself, and the point is this. I would encourage you to spend time thinking about what you're taking a photo of before you take it, and then look at what you've taken a photograph of and have a good old think. Now, this might sound obvious, but the more you do this, the fewer photos you will take and the better your photos will become. So, what's not to love, eh? And there are some other questions which I mentioned in the previous episode, which I'll just go through them quickly here. I'm not going to talk about them at length, don't worry. Decide what you're taking photos of. Decide why you're taking the photos. Who are you taking the photos for? And what are you going to do with the photos? So those are the questions from the last episode, and now I'm going to go back to ones I've already mentioned and very briefly go through them. Do you like the photo? Well, it's a great place to start, isn't it? Do you actually like what you're looking at? Have you captured the main subject? If you love what you've got, great, move on, find something else. And if you don't, well, how can you take a better photo? How indeed? What do you not like about the photo? Now, this is a great way to look at a photo. Rather than asking what you like, ask yourself what you don't like in a photo. And if you can identify bits that you don't like, you can take another photo without them, can't you? I mean, doing this, it really applies the thought process to taking better photos. And it can be a lot easier to try and pick out the things you don't like rather than things you do like. It's easier to be critical about a photo than it is to just look at it and go, well, it's nice. If you look at the things you don't like, there are specific things that you can look at, identify, and then do something about. Okay, is the composition pleasing? Have you captured what you wanted to capture? Is the subject matter the star of the photo? Is what you're looking at on your screen what you hoped it would be? Have you missed something? Are the elements in the composition arranged in a pleasing way? A well-balanced composition is easy on the eye after all. Have you included everything you wanted to include? Have you missed something? And have you included stuff you don't want in a photo? Now, for me, I don't like cluttered photos. I like everything nice and simple with a main subject, minimal fuss, minimum clutter. Not saying you have to work that way, but that's how I work. Okay, is the photo technically correct? Getting the exposure correct, it's a given. It's what you have to do. Nobody will accept an underexposed photo or an overexposed photo, an out-of-focus photo. Anything technically incorrect is just not acceptable, and there's no excuse for it in 2024. But even with the amazing kit we have today, we still have a challenge capturing the range of lights and darks that we need. I struggled then with the word capture. That's a worry. So don't expect to get everything that you can see, because a camera can't capture in a single image the range of lights and darks, also known as the dynamic range, that we can see. Of course, you want to capture as much of the light as possible, but you do not want to overexpose the photo. There's a delicate balance there of getting that correct middle ground. And the photo has to be sharp with what you want in focusing sharp and what you don't want sharp. Not sharp, if that's what you want to do. If you want everything sharp in a photo, that's fine, but sometimes we don't. Now, you need to decide if you want a shallow depth of field or a large depth of field. And of course, that will be determined by the aperture and the focal length and the proximity of the bits in your photo. And then, of course, there's the other question. Can you take a better photo than this one? Always worth asking yourself this question. Can you do better? Should you do better? Is your photo okay? Can you spend some time on what you've done and turn an okay photo into a great photo? Okay, another really good question. I like to call this one the final clinching question. Can you be bothered to spend ages editing the photo? Well, be completely honest with yourself. Can you be bothered to edit the photo? I've got home after going out and creating a whole heap of brand new super masterpieces. And you know what? When I got home, I've looked at some of the photos and I didn't really like them. I couldn't be bothered to edit them. And what I should have done, which I didn't have the confidence to do then, which I do now, I should have deleted them. Yep, it's not on my script this, but if you got some photos you're taking that you don't like, delete them. Like I say, I'm not expecting you to do that straight away. You need to build up some confidence, okay? But when you get home, looking at your photos, have this thought in mind when you're going through them. Can I actually be bothered to edit a photo? And if you start that thought process, that will feed in time to when you go out taking photos. And hopefully you'll start to take less photos. And you'll see that there's a theme coming out of this. There is a recurring theme. Okay, definitely the last point, and probably the most important one. Why would anyone other than you be remotely interested in this photo? Why would anybody care? This is the ultimate question. Friends and family, they'll probably say your photos are great because they don't want to upset you. Hopefully they love you, well, like you at least anyway, and they want to support you in your photography. No disrespect to your friends and family, but they might not know what they're talking about. So saying your photos are great with best intentions is actually not that helpful for you. So I'm sorry, but your benchmark is not your best friend. It's a stranger who does not know you and who sees your photo in isolation somewhere with no backstory. No information, no details, just the photo. All they have is what they're looking at. That is your benchmark. So would a stranger like your photo? And in this modern world that we're in 2024... would your photo pass the swipe by in an instant social media experience? Now, let's not forget it's a harsh world out there. It's hard to get noticed. It's hard to stand out because there's so many photos out there. Right, that was the main questions. Couple of other things. Tripods. Yes, tripods. I know I talked about gear in the last episode, but I want to just come back to this one. I use a tripod. Using a tripod, it helps my compositions. It slows me down and it helps me to refine my compositions and it helps me to take the best photos that I can. Not only technically, because I get everything horizontal and vertical, but also the content of the composition. So if you've got a tripod and the situation permits, put your camera on your tripod and take your time and take a photo. Okay, I've said more than one time, take less photos. Well, I have a rule. This is the rule that I've created, all of my own. And it's called the one photo rule. Now, if you check out episode 152, how my one photo rule will help you take better photos, you'll find out all about my one photo rule, not surprisingly. Yes, there's a whole episode dedicated to my one photo rule. So have a listen, check it out. And try to get one new photo when you go out. Yes, really, just try to get one photo, the best photo that you can. There you go, that's got you thinking, hasn't it? If you go out with the mindset, I'm only going to get one photo, that quite literally focuses the mind. Right, the actual taking photos bit. Now, if you check out another previous episode, episode 3 from way back in late 2020, blimey, and it's titled How to Take a Photo. Well, this is the actual how-to bit. Now, I want to spend some time on how you actually press the shutter button and how you use the rule of thirds when you're taking your photos. More on that in a minute, as there is a lot more to this, so I'm quite happy I've not tried to shoehorn it into this episode, which was the original plan, but like I say, I'll come back to that. Okay, the talky bit. This might all sound long-winded and painful, but this can be a quick process with practice, and the more you practice, the better you'll get at it, and the quicker you'll be at it. What I want you to do is this. I want you to think before you take a photo. Now, I've already told you what I want you to think about, so why should you do this? Well, if you just go out and take loads of photos without any thought, you might end up with a load of rubbish photos, photos you don't like, and photos that you don't really want to spend time editing. And you might get disillusioned with photography, you might just feel like giving up and doing something else, but I don't want that to happen to you. This happened to me. I got bored with my photography because I was taking loads of rubbish photos. I didn't like them and I didn't enjoy editing them and I was beginning to stop enjoying my photography. But thankfully, I had a think about this, I had a word with myself and probably picked up on something that I heard somebody say somewhere, probably on a podcast. About 10 years ago this was. And I started to think, actually it was a long time more than 10 years ago. How time flies, eh? No, when I started to think about what I was doing, my photos, they started to get much better. I'm not saying I turned, you know, good photos, good pictures into great pictures, not all the time, but they definitely improved. I increased the chances of getting high quality images significantly. And this is what I want for you. Now, I suggest that there's only a small percentage of people who are actively into photography who will do this, so the very act of you doing this, of you thinking about what you're taking your photos of, it's going to put you above a decent proportion of other photographers who aren't doing this. And let's not forget, thinking costs you nothing other than a bit of wear on your brain, which is probably positive wear because it helps your brain grow and develop and all that good stuff. And it will help you to take better photos. I'm absolutely convinced that this will help you to take better photos. And that is what this is all about. That's what my podcast is all about. It's not about answering a question about what aperture is and that. It's about helping you and me and everybody else to take better photos. I apply my one photo rule. I try to get one photo that is good enough to go into one of my portfolios. That is always my aim. If I can get just one photo that's good enough to replace another one in a portfolio, that, for me, is mission accomplished. That sounded a little bit more dramatic than it could have done, didn't it? Mission accomplished, who am I? Right, what if I use my phone to take photos and not a camera? You can still apply the same care and attention to what you're photographing, only how you take the photo changes. And I keep saying this as well, a bit like a broken record, aren't I? And a record for young people is something you used to buy about 30 years ago that you might have never heard of. I keep on banging this drum. There you go, that's better. That's a bit more universal, isn't it? Smartphone cameras, and I'm trying to be Android phone inclusive here and not just make it about Apple only because that's what I use. Smartphone cameras are just other devices that we can use to take photos. A smartphone camera is a camera. My other camera, my Canon 6D, is a camera. And so why wouldn't we spend the time and care to take photos with a phone that we do with a camera? There's no reason not to, is there? No, there isn't, Rick. What if I use a film camera? All of the above applies, apart from the fact you can't check what you've taken a photo of like you can with a digital camera. And that, for me, is one of the big downsides of film photography. You can't do that. I think we all know that, don't we? But you can take the same photo with your phone and see what that looks like. Saying that, I'm blurring the edges here of film photography and digital photography, and I'm potentially upsetting film photographers, aren't I? Because why would you want to do that if you're taking photos with a film camera? Take one with your phone as well. You might as well take one with a DSLR and have a look at that one and see. No, I'm going to move on. Stop talking, Rick. What do I do? Well, I try and take one photo, and that one photo is the best photo that I can. I'm not looking for the perfect shot. I'm looking for the best shot that I can. Don't try and get the perfect photo, because who knows what that is. Just try and get the best photo that you can each and every time you take a photo. And my one photo rule is quite literally my one photo rule, and I love using it. It makes me spend more time thinking, and as a result of this rule, I spend more time thinking than I do taking photos. I walk around, I look, I see, I think. Everything that I've said so far, I do. And I love doing this, I have to say. I really love doing this. I don't take lots of photos from different perspectives. I look from these different perspectives first and choose the best one and take one photo if I can. If I can capture something in one photo, I'm happy. And I check what I've got after I take a photo and I have a look at it. Is that photo enough to allow me to move on to the next thing? Or as my script says, to move into the next thing. That'd be clever, wouldn't it? Oh dear, I checked this script as well. Yes, there is a script, would you believe? No, I concentrate on pleasing, well-balanced compositions with interesting light and the highest image quality. And I use natural lighting, having many, many years ago fallen out with artificial light. And that's why you'll never hear me talk about flashes, strobes, all that stuff. No, I like to capture what's there, which has become a thing of mine. Just turning my phone on to quiet, loads of messages coming through. No, I capture what is there, which has become a thing of mine. My light source of choice is that big orange thing in the sky. I know it's an odd choice living here in England, but it does pop out every now and then. Every now and then. And now, I don't claim to be a natural light photographer. I've never claimed that. And I'm not making this a big marketing thing. Oh, I'm the natural light photographer. It's just how it's ended up for me. It's just how it's evolved. And I photograph buildings. I don't feel the need for artificial light, because when I'm taking photographs of interiors, I want to use the lighting designed into the building. So it's not a cop-out, so I don't have to get loads of complicated stuff and work in a more complicated and technical way. Because somebody who's sat in a building, they're not sat there looking at that building with that artificial lighting, are they? So I want to capture what is actually there and not do other stuff to make it look like something it isn't. And that's what I do. Oh, sorry, there's a bit more here. When I take one photo, sometimes I just take one photo and that's me done. In other situations, it's one photo of one particular thing, or a view, or an elevation of a building. If I'm photographing a sunrise, I want one photo and that is all. If I'm photographing a sunset, I want one photo. I don't want any more. I only want the one photo of the sunrise or the sunset. I don't need any more. I'm not going to do anything with them. Don't forget where I was and where you may be. If you're going out taking hundreds of photos every time, which is what I was doing and you might be doing, I hope you're not, have a think about this. What would you rather have? Hundreds of rubbish photos or one really good photo? I know which I prefer. And there is a knock-on from this taking hundreds of photos, isn't there? You end up spending more time looking at the photos you've taken, trying to find the good ones. If I need to provide 20 photos of a building for a client, and I only take 20 photos, then I consider I have absolutely nailed it. That is what I want to do on every shoot. It's never happened before. I've always taken more photos than I've issued, but it used to be, say, 100 photos. And then issue 20 good ones. Now I'm probably in the 25 to 30 range, which isn't bad. It makes my shot selections a lot quicker. I've got less photos, less memory, less time, blah, blah, blah. And it proves that I'm taking my photos more efficiently, because if I'm taking 100 photos, it takes time to take photos, doesn't it? So I'm saving myself time and getting better photos. So it's got to be a good thing, hasn't it? So if you're going out taking hundreds of photos every time, think about this. Are you spending more time looking at the photos you've taken, trying to find the good ones? Well, the best way for me is to take the photos I need to take and no more. So rather than taking hundreds of photos and finding the good one, take the time and take the good photo and don't take all the other ones. And this is what I do, in a bit of a convoluted kind of way. Right, some thoughts from the last episode, which was titled, How to Use Your Gear to Get Better Compositions. Well, I was quite happy with that episode. I really was. Just one thing I wanted to say, and it's a thought that came to me the other day when I was watching a photographer working. When you look at a professional photographer and you look at the gear, they got that gear for a reason. So if you see a photographer with a lens costing $10,000, £10,000, €10,000, apologies, I know there are other currencies, but I'm not going to say them all here, am I? Anyway, 10,000, whatever's a lot of money. The cost of a decent second-hand car, that's what we're talking about. Well, they haven't spent all that money for nothing, have they? Money for nothing? Someone should write a song called that. No, they bought that lens for a reason. They have spent that significant amount of money on that lens for a specific reason. And that reason is to get the photos they need to get, and they need the gear to do it. Because if you could do it with a £1,000 lens rather than a £20,000 lens, you'd do it, wouldn't you? Now, little side note here. As an amateur photographer, these things, they feel way out of reach, don't they? I mean, so they should for now. So they should. I look at sports photographers with these massive, like, a 600mm f4 lens, about 12 grand, and think, oh, I'd love one of them. I don't need one, but I'd love one. Yeah, I do get a bit envious about these guys. And then I watch them working ever so hard, and I think, that looks like hard work, whereas I just sit here on my backside and talk about it, which is much better, and go out and photograph the odd building. So, I'm all right. Next episode. Well, I mentioned episode 3 before, how to take a photo. And you know what? I just referenced it here, and I'm going to redo episode 3. I'm going to start again with the nuts and bolts of the how to take a photo bit. Because there are elements of that episode that I was going to cover in this episode, but there was too much other stuff. So that's what I'm going to do. This is going to be part 2 of how to take photos, getting started. The actual taking photos bit. Right, I'm happy with that. Wasn't what I planned to do, but it's fine. These things change, don't they? Okay, ask me a question. If you've got a question you would like me to answer, email me at sales@rickmcavoyphotography.co.uk or head over to the podcast website, photographyexplainedpodcast.com/start. And if you just want to say hi, just say hi. I love hearing from my listeners. Get an email from me. Yeah, if you'd like to receive a weekly email from me where I tell you what I'm thinking about, fill out the form on the podcast website, and every Friday you will get a lovely email from me. What is not to love? An utterly splendid email every Friday afternoon, 3 p.m, the time where I'm sat. Right, I'm done. Well, this episode was brought to you by a homemade chicken, bacon and mayo sandwich washed down with an ice-cold Coke Zero, because I run out of Diet Pepsi, before I settled down in my homemade, acoustically cushioned recording emporium. Nope, still no crisps. No, I'm well into March 2024 and I've still not had any crisps. I'm being good and I'm feeling good, to be fair, for it. And I'm doing some exercise. I'm feeling good, actually. I'm feeling good with the world and myself. Right, stop waffling, Rick. I've been Rick McAvoy. Thanks again very much for listening to my small but perfectly formed podcast, It Says Here, and for giving me 27-ish minutes of your valuable time. Now, I think this episode will be about 23 minutes long after I've edited out the mistakes and other bad stuff. I hope to see you on the next episode. Take care, stay safe. Cheers from me, Rick.